This morning's reading is Mark 12, verses 28 to 34, and it's page 962 in the Church Bible. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Thank you, Yvonne. And now it gives me great pleasure to hand over to Tim as he brings God's word to us.
Thank you. I've switched it off now. I'll switch it back on again now. There we are. Sorry, Richard. Thanks, Pauline, for leading us. It's so lovely, isn't it, to be with God's people in God's place and just to feel and sense that one heart together and that confidence that we're going to trust in God and in him alone, because he's the one who's worth trusting in. But thanks to everyone who served today. It takes an army of people to operate a Sunday morning, doesn't it? But our musicians and our technical guys at the back and coffee makers and Bible readers and prayers, and it's amazing, isn't it? And I'm glad nobody's giving up anything now I've come, so thank you. Please, nobody's giving up anything. And everybody's going to carry on, and that will be the best gift I could ever have. But thank you so much. I'm amazed, really, the impact I've had already since moving to this area. Because yesterday, Stoke won for the first time this season, and Port Vale won as well, I hear, which is amazing, isn't it? So well done. So you see what a difference it makes to have me here. I'm sure Nathan Jones is very happy to know that I'm around and that Stoke are going to be heading up the table from now on. I should let you know a little bit about me over these next few weeks, really. So I wanted to tell you that I love to sing. And you probably heard me because I forgot to mute my microphone, but I love to sing. So do you mind if I sing to you today? Would that be okay? Because last night we had the Audley Male Voice Choir, and that really inspired me to sing. But I want you to join in as soon as you recognize the song. Is that okay? Yeah, you're all right for that? Yeah? They're not complicated. And you ready for this? Are you ready at the back, Richard, for the microphone? Okay, here we go. All you need is
love.
Da, 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 da. All you need is all you need is
love.
Love is all you need. You're very good here. You're very good. Do you want to go for another one? Okay. And I will always love you. That'll do. Yeah, we'll stop that one. Okay. Okay. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Well, love is all around I, and so the feeling grows. Oh, you're very good. You're very good here. Okay, one last one then, okay. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're simply saying, thank you so much for saying that this morning. I do so appreciate the fact that you love me. Thank you. Thank you so much. A bit narcissistic, but thank you. Yeah, love is all around, isn't it? I mean, it's incredible to think how much love is around. It is the universal sort of emotion, isn't it, that all of us come into contact with. What do you love? Just tell somebody near you, what is it you love? You don't have to give the spiritual answer today. Just tell them, what do you love the most, okay? Just tell somebody around you. If you're sat next to your spouse, please make sure you tell her the right answer. Okay, I've realized many times it's fatal to encourage people to talk together because stopping them from talking together is the hardest thing in the world. But I'm guessing you've all loved different things, haven't you? You know, and they can range over a whole different range of things. Maybe it's someone, maybe it's something, maybe it's some food, or maybe it's a TV program. I'm sure some of you love Strictly Come Dancing, but never mind. I'll pray for you over that many, many times. But Jesus said, and we just heard in our reading, that the most important thing, the greatest commandment, was to love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And that is the greatest commandment. And that's where we need to start. And that's why I thought today this was the place that we should start again together. I know you know it, but I think it's good to be reminded of it. That before we can do anything together, before anything can happen, we need to affirm our love for God. And he asks us to love him with all, with everything. And that's the challenge, isn't it? To love him with all. There are few things so universal, few things that we all have experienced, and yet it's so challenging to just love God. Of course, love starts with God. Moses, back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 9, he said, the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. This is a God who just can't help himself from loving. It is his nature. It is his first response to his people, to people who don't know him, to people who have no relationship with him. His first response is just to love them. That's why that verse from Luke 15 is so special to me, because the context of that verse is the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And the father says those lines to the elder brother, the one who stands outside the party, the one who's done everything right. He's not left his dad. He hasn't run away and spent everything. He's done his duty. He's been so stoic about doing everything that he thinks everybody else wants him to do. But the one thing he forgot was that everything the father had was always his. And so that parable reminds me, you know, that God's first response to those who come home, he has a party, to those who stand outside the party and haven't quite understood what love's all about, his first response is to say, son, daughter, everything I have is yours. I love you without any strings attached. And the call for all of us is just to respond by loving God with everything we have. And in this little encounter that Jesus has in Mark chapter 12 that Yvonne read so beautifully to us today, Jesus reiterates this command from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It's found way back in the Old Testament, right near the beginning of the Old Testament, as part of the foundational word for the people of Israel, right at the very beginning, when God said, you know, love the Lord your God. Just love the Lord your God with everything that you have, because that has been the past and that has been the present and that is to be the future. There is nothing else that you can find. And in Mark chapter 12, the teacher of the law who was standing outside the previous conversation Jesus was having, he noticed that Jesus had given good answers to everybody else's questions. And he wanted to get involved in this debate. You know, debates happened long before the House of Commons sat, okay? That long before that. And I don't know whether we can call that debating anymore, but this was the debate that was going on between Jesus and these folk. He'd already nailed the Pharisees and the Herodians. He'd already said to them, if you've got your Bible open, you might want to just go back to the passage a bit earlier in Mark chapter 12. They try to trip Jesus off over paying tax to Caesar. You remember they said, who should we pay tax to? You know, should it be Caesar or to God? Who should we give to? Well, Jesus had nailed that because it was quite clear that Jesus wanted to say, you know what, whatever Caesar's, you give to Caesar. You know, that's plain and simple. You know, you've got to pay tax. I'm really sorry to say that and remind you again today. If you haven't filled in your tax return by the end of October, then please do it because we have to pay tax. Jesus made that very clear. He sorted out the Pharisees and Herodians. Later on in that passage, in verse 18 of Mark 12, Jesus gets these questions from the Sadducees about marriage at the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Okay, that's how you remember. That's why they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in resurrection. But Jesus nailed that one as well. Jesus was not being tripped up by the Pharisees, by the Herodians, or by the Sadducees. And so the teacher of the law wanted to join in and try and lay the trap for Jesus as well. Because the teacher of the law knew what the answer was. I mean, he'd been brought up knowing what the answer was. Of course he would know that it was love the Lord your God. Of course he would know that. But of course, what the teacher of the law didn't understand, he didn't understand the sort of love that Jesus understood, that Jesus wanted to talk about. The teacher of the law was wrapped up in doing things, duty, legal requirements. That was how love was shown. He did it by the book. That was how to love God, because if you did this, 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 and this, then in his eyes, then he'd love God. But Jesus was trying to shatter that. He was trying to strip that away to say, no, it's not about what you do. You've just got to love God. And we're so conditioned to want to do something, aren't we? We're so conditioned to prove our love for someone or to do something to show our love. But Jesus is trying to strip that away and saying, no, all you've got to do is love God with all that you have. It's so simple and yet it's so complicated. So today I just want to unpack a little bit about what this might look like for each of us and our response to it. As you know, I love Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I mean, you know that. I know it came second or third. I love AFC Bournemouth as well. And at 2 o'clock this afternoon, they'll be playing Arsenal at Arsenal. I'll be loving them. I love Kerry, my wife. I love Lily, my granddaughter. I love Marmite, by the way, if anybody wants to give me Marmite. I love Marmite. I love Jesus as well. But of course, I don't love all those things in the same way. I can't, can I? It would be weird if I loved Kerry the same way I love Ben and Jerry's ice cream, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, that would just be weird. And you'd be worried about me then. But of course, love is used in so many different ways. And yet Jesus wants us to understand what the sort of love he's talking about and the implications of loving God in this way. So then and now, for us, for me, for us as a church community, for us in our families, for us in our relationship with God, here's the sort of love that God wants to give. Now, I've got this flicker, and I'm about as good as Pauline with using it. So there we are. Oh, it buzzed as well. That's really helpful. So we've done all that. See, I forgot. Getting so carried away. Love God. It's the invitation to change focus. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God, he wanted to change the focus of the teacher of the law, because it's easy to get distracted. Your love is so often seen as a verb, as a doing word, you know, to do something, but I don't think that's the sort of love that God is asking from us. It's not only a verb. If we reduce love to just actions, then I think we're going to miss love as its source. And if, to be honest, if love is just a verb, then we're going to become Pharisees in this. We're going to fall into the same trap. It's a bit like buying flowers. Oh, I'm going to make a mess. Never mind. Leave my mark. Buying flowers for someone you love. Do you do that very often? I have to confess I don't do it very often, okay? Because I think if I did it too often, it would lose its impact, wouldn't it? You know? Don't you think? That's my excuse anyway. If I did it, you know, every week, Kerry would start wondering what I've done wrong, really, more than anything else. But so my reason is, you know, if I only do it every year, once a year, then that would be okay. But what if I'd bought these at the Texaco petrol station this morning at Morrison's, and that, which I did, I'm really sorry about that, and they'd been reduced in price. And I gave them to Kerry and said, here's some flowers for you. Would that diminish the gift? Well, you know. If I gave them to Kerry and I said to her, do you know what, I know you like me giving you flowers, so here's some for you today. Would that diminish the sort of love gift behind it? See, my motivation for giving it may be all mixed up. It may not be just out of an act of love. It might just be because I want her to do something back for me in the future. And if I earn enough points, then maybe she'll do something back for me. You see how love gets all very screwed up in this whole thing? How it gets all messed up along the way if our hearts are not fixed on what love really is all about? I'm going to give these to Kerry, if that's okay. You don't mind me giving them to Kerry. They are, Kerry. They're for you. Yes, that's it for the year now, so no more. That's finished. So we have to be very sure and careful how we love God. I mean, it's not our duty to love God. If we think it's our duty, then we've got to change our focus, because God isn't looking for duty from us. If it's to win his favor, then we've got to change our focus, because God's not going to be persuaded by our love, because he is love. He can't love us any more than he does right now. Whether you're feeling close to God or whether you've walked away from him, whether you're exploring faith, you know, he can't love you anymore. You haven't got to prove yourself to him anymore. And sometimes we've got to just change our focus. And I think Jesus is asking the teacher of the law, he's giving an invitation, change your focus in this. Because I want you to understand that God's love is just love without any strings attached. And we need to understand that we can love God back in return. See, I think that's what Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter of love. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3, Paul says, if I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. There's nothing to have back if we don't just simply learn to love God, because he's love. So there's a change of focus, and maybe some of us today, we need to change our focus a little bit. You know, to strip away some of those things that have got in the way of what it looks like to love God. Trying to prove ourselves, trying to do duty. But God says, I just want you to love me. Love me. Just love me. I'm sure many of us have been to the opticians, and you've been in that magic machine, haven't you? And you've tried to look for that balloon. Do they still have the balloon? And there's a moment when they put the right lenses in. Have you had that moment? Ever had that moment? And it's like, whoa, suddenly everything's sharp. Everything's clear. The colors are vibrant, vivid. And I think sometimes we just need to come back to God and say, God, I just need to see your love for what it is, just the beauty of your love. And I'm going to love you in that way as I give myself back to you. How do you do that? I think you make worship a priority. I think Sunday mornings you come around with the family here and you worship God, and it gets you back into that place of just concentrating on him, away from all the week that we've had, whatever's happened. We worship. We make our prayer a normal part of our day, because prayer is about relationship. Prayer isn't a button to be pushed, you know, to get what we want. It's a relationship to be pursued. And so we come to God and we just sit in his presence and we just feel and know his love, and we love him back in return with no strings attached. I think we just make time to read the Bible. You know, whether it's one verse or two verses, a minute, 10 minutes, whatever it is, we just connect, because this book tells us about how much God loves us, and we learn again our position with him as well. I pray that some of us will change our focus and just love God, because God is love. I think secondly, we make ourselves available to be challenged by changing our priorities. The greatest commandment says, I'm going to love God with all I have. You know, all is a is a pretty inclusive word, isn't it? You know, I've dug through the Greek meaning, the Hebrew meaning. I've dug through every meaning. And this word just means all. There's no other explanation for it. There's nothing we can change about it. To love God with all our heart. And what does that look like? To love God with all our heart. Because it's always been about the heart. God has always been after our hearts. He's always been after the thing that drives us, that sense of who we are. And maybe some of us need to change our priorities about what flows out of our hearts, what sort of love flows out naturally when we bump into people, when we have conversations with people, in our workplaces, with our neighbors, with our family, with our parents, with our children. What sort of love overflows out of that? We're also called to love God with our soul. You know, our very essence, right back at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read that God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man, the person, became a living soul. It's the very essence of God. We love God with our very being, our very essence. There's nothing to hold back with our passions, with our hungers, with our perceptions, with our thoughts, how we talk, what we do with our hands, how we use our talents and our gifts. We just love God with everything we have and all we are. We give it back to him. And then Jesus said we love God with all our strength. It's a very interesting word, the word strength, in the original Hebrew in Deuteronomy, because it gets translated as just the word very or muchness. Which is a bit strange, isn't it? But to love God with everything, with our muchness, with everything that we have that makes us as a person. The Greek translation, that word is power. The Aramaic word is wealth. So it's trying to capture this. Loving God with our strength means everything that we are and everything that we have. We just love God with that as well. We honor God with everything that we are and everything that we do and everything that we give and every gift and talent and experience that we have. We just love God with everything. And maybe for some of us, you know, there's one thing that gets in the way. Do you remember that encounter Jesus had with the rich young man? Mark chapter 10, he said, I've kept every single commandment, but Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. And for that man, it was his wealth. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. But there's something in all of us that Jesus is saying, there's one thing you haven't been prepared to give up. There's one thing you haven't let go of. There's one thing that you're holding on to that is causing you just to stumble in this opportunity to love me. Change your priorities, because there's one thing. It's a massive challenge to all of us who are following Jesus. To keep looking to say, what's that one thing that I need to put down? What's the one thing that I need to stop doing? What's that one habit, one addiction, that one lifestyle choice that I'm making that I need to put down in order to love God with everything that I have? Because there's always something. There's always something that gets in the way. And the challenge to that rich young man was go and sell what you have. To us, it's go and put down what is getting in the way of loving me with everything you have. And Jesus longs for us to come back to him with open hands to say, God, I'm going to give you everything. All I have and all I am is yours. And I will serve you out of love. Maybe you need to change some priorities. Maybe how you use your time. Maybe how you work. Maybe what you watch on TV or on the internet, maybe you need to put some of that down and say, God, I'm going to love you with everything that I have. And finally, I think the challenge of this verse is that we need to make a response, the decision to change direction. In Mark chapter 12, in verse 34, the teacher of the law had answered correctly. He'd given the exact answer that Jesus was looking for, but Jesus looked at him and said, you're not far from the kingdom. So giving the right answer wasn't the answer for that guy. You know, Jesus saw in him that there was something more that he had to do. There was a decision he had to make. There was a response he had to make. You're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from it. There was something still in the way. He had the security of the law. He had status. He had knowledge. But there was still something that stopped him getting into the kingdom. If you've ever moved house, I'm guessing many of you have moved house. We moved house this week, actually, funny you should ask. But it's tough, isn't it, moving house, don't you think? But it's always intriguing because when you move house and you move some furniture, you find out what your carpet looked like 13 years ago. Oh, that's what the colour was all that time ago. You know, or you disturb the spiders that have been quite happily sat behind your piece of furniture for 13 years and suddenly you've uprooted them as well. But you see what it once was. And maybe there are times in our lives when we see what our lives once were as followers of Jesus. Yeah, when we were on fire, when we made that first commitment to follow Jesus. And it's like some of us, we've got to move the furniture away to see what color the carpet was. Because something's changed around us. And the challenge to the teacher of the law was, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not quite there yet, but you're not far from it. And I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to that teacher of the law, but I'd love to think that he suddenly saw the reality of the love that Jesus was talking about and suddenly saw what he needed to do was just to love God. That all his legal stuff, as good as it all was, I'm sure, somehow he'd lost his focus. His priorities had got all mixed up. And now was the time to change direction, to come back. Yeah, the word for changing direction is repentance. That's what the word repentance means, to change direction. To just recognize that we're sorry for the times when we've wandered in our own way, when we got mixed up in our priorities, and just to turn around and come back to Jesus. That's what happened to Zacchaeus, wasn't it? Do you remember that story of Zacchaeus when Jesus was going through the town and he saw Zacchaeus up the tree and Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house for tea. And we could sing another song together, couldn't we, that we probably know from Sunday school, I'm guessing, but we won't sing that today. We'll save that for another day. But Jesus went to his house for tea and Zacchaeus realized that love was sat around his tea table, that love was having a cup of tea and a cake with him that day. And in that moment, he realized what needed to change. And his whole life took a 180-degree turn. And he started focusing on who Jesus was and loving him instead of cheating people. How did Jesus know his life had been changed? Well, Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give back everything I've cheated. I'm going to give back even more. That's how important it is. And Jesus said, you know, today, salvation has come to this house. That word salvation is full of images of healing and a wholeness and reconciliation and peace, forgiveness. It's full of everything. Salvation, freedom, life in all its fullness has come to this house today because Zacchaeus changed direction. Is there anything that needs to change in your life today? You need to put down, you need to refocus. You need to come back to that place of saying, I'm just going to love you, God. Is that okay? I'm just going to love you. That doesn't mean we stop doing everything we're doing, but we just get it all in the right order. We do because of our love. We don't do to be loved. We just love God. And so today, I'd love you to just love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And you know what? When the kingdom gets into us, then the world is going to see something different. See, Jesus didn't come to get people into the kingdom. He came to get the kingdom into people. That's what he did. And that's our task too. But it starts with me. It starts with us as we begin to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul together. Are you up for that? Are we going to do that together? I hope and pray we can do that together. Because when the kingdom is in us, it'll overflow into this world and people's lives will be transformed and they'll learn to love Jesus just like you do. Shall we pray together before we come to our final song this morning? Yeah, Jesus, thank you. We just want to say we love you. What else can we say? You who first loved us. You who loved us enough to come to die on a cross, to burst out of that tomb. Jesus, we love you. And today we reaffirm that love, that you will have first place in my life, in our life together. and we will keep our eyes fixed on you, the one who began all this, the one who will complete it, the one who walks with us in the middle. And we just offer our love to you today. Perhaps for you today, you need to put something down, something that's getting in the way, a stumbling block, an attitude, a lifestyle issue that's going on. And today is your day to put that down, because it's getting in the way of you loving God with all that you have. As Pauline reminded us at the beginning of our service, you know, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins. But can I urge you to just put that down today and say, God, I'm just going to love you today. Thank you for loving me. You know, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You know what that joy was? It was you. It was seeing you and knowing that one day you would come to love him as well. You're his joy. Will you love him? Just love him. Holy Spirit, fill us again with your love, I pray. Fill our hearts to overflowing, so that we can first love you and give you back from our lives the life that you've given us. Teach us what it looks like to love you more and to give you our very best. In your name, amen.